Get out of. CNN is reporting on its front page today something that is absolutely frightening in regard to its implications, and this is that the Golden Mosque's remaining minarets have been blown up. Insurgents blew up the remaining two minarets of the Askariya Mosque, which is a holy Shiite Muslim shrine in Samarra, Iraq. It was badly damaged in a similar attack in 2006. No immediate word on casualties. But what we do know is this: insurgents entered the mosque and planted explosives around the minarets, this is the establishment story anyway, and detonated them, according to a police official. As we go through the story, as CNN reports it this morning in a Baghdad byline, this is allegedly a repeat of the situation that took place in 2006. A U.S. military spokesman has condemned the violence, quote, as another attack on the people of Iraq by people who try to continue to separate, divide, and weaken the Iraqi people, unquote. The military spokesman declined to say whether the military would deploy more troops on the streets. Quote, we continue to conduct the operations we do normally. I will not discuss specifics, and I will not discuss operational security, unquote. Within hours of the attacks, Iraqi state television announced that Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki and imposed a curfew for Baghdad until further notice. A U.S. military official in northern Iraq told the Associated Press that Samarra appeared calm by Wednesday afternoon. The explosions rocked the town and blew billowing dust clouds into the air, store owner Imad Nagy told the Associated Press. After the dust settled, I couldn't see the minarets anymore, he said, so I closed the shop quickly and went home. The blast followed clashes between gunmen and Iraqi national police who were guarding the holy site. During the firefight, the insurgents entered the mosques, also known as the Golden Dome, planted explosives around the minarets and detonated them. In response, radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, a characterization as CNN's, called for 3 days of mourning to mark the destruction of the minarets, according to a statement, quote, let the next 3 days be mourning days where we spread the black banners and a call to prayer and shouting to God is great in our mosques, whether they are Sunnis or Shiites, and to organize peaceful demonstrations and sit-ins in order for everyone to witness that the only enemy of Iraq is the occupation, and therefore everyone must demand its departure or a timetable of its occupation, unquote. Although Samarra is a predominantly Sunni city, Askariya is one of four major Shiite shrines in Iraq. Iraq's other major Shiite sites are in the holy cities of Najaf and Karbala. The fourth is in the Baghdad district of Qadamiyah. We're in trouble, folks. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Ted Pike, the National Prayer Network, will join us at 9 a.m. Stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network will be with us at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time to discuss hate crimes and to discuss the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in regard to Ted's latest media release on this subject, which deals with the Jewish role in the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in 1917. So those are some of the things we'll cover with Ted at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. Keeping in mind what we have reported in the opening minutes of this show, that CNN is saying in its lead story that insurgents on Wednesday blew up two minarets at Samarra's revered Shiite Askariya Mosque. This is at least the establishment line on what has happened, and quite clearly it indicates that we are in ongoing trouble in Iraq. And as we think about being an ongoing trouble, we come full scale, all the way back, full circle, to Jacob Hornberger of the Future Freedom Foundation. He's been on this show before, and of course, between June 1st and 4th, just a very short time ago, his organization had, in Fairfax, Virginia, a series of speakers. You can find out more about this conference that has taken place now if you go to triplef.org. But suffice it to say that when you look at the speakers that Jacob had up there in Fairfax between June 1st and 4th, this was a laundry list of some major, major heavyweights who had much to say about the interventionist character of American foreign policy and the disastrous road that all of this is taking us down. And certainly what has happened in Samarra in Iraq, as CNN is reporting it this morning, is but the latest evidence that the United States is involved in something it cannot extricate itself from effectively. We're talking about a disaster, the proportions of which remain to be seen, and the only thing that's amazing to me is that those who have caused this disaster are advocating more of the same. They want more troops, they want an expansion of the war into Iran, and they, as near as anyone can tell, would be quite happy to have the neoconservative vision of a so-called war of civilizations actually taking place on a global scale. Jacob Hornberger, then, going all the way back to his op-ed piece of May the 23rd, which you can find at the Future Freedom Foundation, reminds us once more of the centrality of Ron Paul's presidential candidacy in the Republican primaries. And looking at Jacob's piece this morning, it's entitled, Why Ron Paul's Answer Terrifies Them. Hornberger says that in one short answer to a moderator's question in the South Carolina debate, in which Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul suggested that U.S. foreign policy motivated the 9/11 terrorists, Paul produced an earthquake that is shaking the Republican establishment. The chairman of the Michigan Republican Party proposed banning Paul from future debates. Besieged by adverse public reaction, however, he quickly backed down. Fox News commentator John Gibson and columnist Michelle Malkin somehow reached the warped conclusion that Paul was suggesting that U.S. officials had committed the 9/11 attacks. After bloggers pointed out the inherent contradiction between that claim and Paul's point that foreign terrorists motivated by U.S. foreign policy had committed the attacks, Malkin quickly issued a retraction. Other members of the Republican establishment suggested that Paul was, quote, blaming America, unquote, for the 9/11 attacks. That's because they think that the federal government is America. In actuality, as our American ancestors understood, the federal government and the country are composed of two separate and distinct groups of people, those within the federal government and those within the private sector, a point reflected in the Bill of Rights, which expressly protects the country from the federal government. What's going on here? Why the enormous, almost panicky overreaction to what is a rather simple point about U.S. foreign policy? Why the attempts to suppress, distort, and misrepresent? What are they so scared of? The answer is very simple. The Republican establishment knows that if the American people conclude that Ron Paul is right, the jig is up with respect to the big government, pro-empire, interventionist foreign policy that Republicans and many Democrats have supported for many years. Paul's point is a straightforward one. U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East generated the anger that motivated the 9/11 terrorists. If he had had more time, Paul undoubtedly would have pointed out the U.S. policies in the Middle East that made people so angry. Number one, the U.S. government's ardent support of Saddam Hussein and the furnishing of biological and chemical weapons of mass destruction to him. Number two, the more than 10 years of brutal sanctions against Iraq, which contributed to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Iraqi children. Number three, UN Ambassador Madeleine Albright's infamous statement to 60 Minutes that the deaths of 500,000 Iraqi children from the sanctions had been worth it, quote unquote. Number four, the stationing of U.S. troops on Islamic holy lands, knowing the adverse impacts that such action would have on Muslims. Number five, the no-fly zones, which were never authorized by either the UN or the U.S. Congress, and which killed still more Iraqis, including 13-year-old Omran Harbi Jawair, whose head was shot off by a U.S. missile while he was tending his sheep in 2000. Number six, the long-time, unconditional financial and military aid provided the Israeli government. Thus, by invading Iraq, the U.S. government was simply engaging in the same course of interventionist conduct that had produced prior acts of terrorism against the United States. Not only the 9/11 attacks, but the 1993 attack on the World Trade Center, the 1998 terrorist attacks on U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania, and the 2000 terrorist attack on the USS Cole. As Paul stated in the debate, and as U.S. intelligence agencies now confirm, the 2003 invasion of Iraq, which has killed and maimed countless more Iraqis, has been a dream come true for Osama bin Laden's recruiters. The 9/11 terrorist attacks also generated the war on terror, which in turn has given us ever-increasing budgets for the military-industrial complex, out-of-control federal spending that debauches the currency, omnipotent power to the CIA, an endless stream of color-coded fear-mongering, warrantless monitoring of telephone calls and emails, torture, kidnapping and rendition, secret overseas prison camps, indefinite detention, cancellation of habeas corpus, military tribunals, quote-unquote enemy combatants, and ever-increasing infringements on civil liberty. If the U.S. government's foreign policy of interventionism is, in fact, the root cause of terrorism against the United States, as Congressman Paul contends, there is an obvious solution to the problem. End the U.S. government's role as international policeman, invader, intervener, interloper, provider, and sanctioner. Foreign terrorism against Americans would disappear, along with the need for a war on terror. Civil liberties that were suspended could be restored. A sense of balance and harmony could return to our lives. Ending interventionism, terrorism, and the war on terror would also mean that the era of big government and foreign affairs could be brought to an end. No wonder the Republican establishment is so terrified of Ron Paul's foreign policy message. That's Dr. Jacob Hornberger, 1975 graduate of the University of Texas Law School in Austin, who is now the founder and president of the Future of Freedom Foundation. And if you go to FFF.org, you can see what all transpired at the Future Freedom Foundation conference that was held June 1st through June 4th up in Fairfax, Virginia. Dr. Hornberger, as well as many of the people connected with this foundation, is truly an advocate of freedom and one of the people fighting for your freedoms and mine in a day and age of Mr. Bush's Patriot Acts and his war on terror. Where's it going to end, folks? Interestingly enough, if you go to yesterday's Wall Street Journal, page A6, you'll see something that I wanted to talk about yesterday on the show. Didn't really get a chance to do so. I'd like to mention it this morning. And that is that if you turn to the politics and economics section of this neoconservative Wall Street Journal, very pro-Israel, very pro-Zionist, obviously one of the mainstream publications of corporate America, nonetheless, they had to acknowledge yesterday on page A6 in the Tuesday, June 12th edition that Mr. Bush has been rebuked, this is their headline, on this whole issue of enemy combatants. Washington byline, Jess Braven is the author of this Wall Street Journal piece, which begins with a Washington byline and says the following. In ordering the release of Ali al-Mari, the last enemy combatant arrested and held on American soil, a federal appeals court in Richmond, Virginia, joined a chorus of judges that have rejected the Bush administration's assertion of extraordinary powers to deal with international terrorism. Although the administration has vowed to appeal, the rulings taken together send a clear message. 6 years after the 9/11 attacks, the legal system has lost patience with government claims that it must dispense with traditional legal protections to guard against another devastating attack. Quote, if the government accurately describes al-Mari's conduct, he has committed grave crimes, Judge Diana Gribben-Motz wrote in a 77-page opinion. But like others accused of terrorism in the U.S., including the Oak City bombers and al-Qaeda operative Zakarias Moussaoui, he must face justice in the civilian courts, she wrote. For in the United States, the military cannot seize and imprison civilians, let alone imprison them indefinitely, unquote. Mr. al-Mari, a legal U.S. resident from Qatar, was a graduate student in Peoria, Illinois, when he was arrested in December of 2001 as a quote-unquote material witness in the 9/11 investigation. He was later charged with relatively minor offenses, including possession of counterfeit credit card numbers and making a false statement on a bank application. After 18 months of legal maneuvers, he was about to stand trial. Mr. Bush declared him an enemy combatant and placed him in military custody. Since then, he has been held without charge at a naval brig in South Carolina. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Pastor Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network will join me at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time to discuss the latest in hate crimes bill legislation and also talk about the Jewish role in the Bolshevik Revolution in communist Russia in 1917. Very interesting show, I'm sure, at 9 o'clock with Ted Pike. You've got to say something about Ted. His research is first rate. He also gets out there on the cutting edge of those things that he believes to be correct and fundamentally at the bottom of what's happened in this country politically and economically and culturally. And he's a gentleman, but he is not afraid to say what he really believes to be the truth. That contrasts with some people we're going to talk about later this morning before Ted comes on, in the so-called American Christian right, who have had a history of obscuring the truth for their own political and financial purposes. And in reference to that last remark, I'm going to be covering Paul Gottfried's article a little bit later on this morning for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative. The title of the article is The Giuliani-Driven Christians. If you need any evidence of how far gone the mainstream Christian right is in the United States, Paul Gottfried's article for Pat Buchanan is absolutely imperative reading. Again, it's entitled The Giuliani-Driven Christians. I'm going to be discussing the article in some detail here shortly, but if you can, look for this piece online. Paul Gottfried is a friend of mine. He is a professor at Elizabethtown College up in Pennsylvania. He and I have been email friends for quite a number of years now, and we exchange ideas every once in a while related to this topic or that. But what he has come up with in regard to this latest expose on both Giuliani and the American Christian right for Buchanan's The American Conservative is absolutely revealing reading. It is revealing with a capital R, folks. We've got major problems. Those of us who are really conservative, those of us who are not controlled by the Israeli lobby, those of us who believe in a constitutionally governed America are in trouble in regard to what's going on in this land of ours, as well as what these presidential political scenes tell us is going on in regard to how controlled this process really is at every level of our society. And we'll take a look at that, of course, as well with Ted Pike this morning when he comes on at 9 o'clock Central Time. Back then to this article from yesterday's Wall Street Journal, page A6, noting that Bush has been rebuked on the enemy combatants doctrine that he has put forth to the American people. There is now another court, in this case a federal appeals court in Richmond, Virginia, has joined a chorus of other judges that have rejected Mr. Bush's assertion that he has extraordinary powers to deal with international terrorism. And this judge, Diana Gribben Motz, wrote something that I think bears repeating in the 77-page opinion. She says, quote, "In the United States, the military cannot seize and imprison civilians, let alone imprison them indefinitely," unquote. Folks, we have a federal judge that has gotten something down correctly. And what she says here should be underscored. The military cannot seize in this country and imprison civilians, let alone imprison them indefinitely. What is more to the point is that the current president of the United States thinks that the military has that power under his direction. They don't, folks, and this judge is affirming what we all know to be true from our own understanding of the Constitution of the United States and all of our Jeffersonian, Madisonian traditions. When a federal judge actually says something intelligent, we need to underscore it and we need to give them credit. In this particular case, Judge Motz has said something that needs to be enshrined once again on the walls of our schools, needs to be put on the front door of our refrigerators for constant daily reminders of the nature of our society as it once was and hopefully as it can be again. Mr. Al-Mari, who of course was the subject of the Bush administration's attempts for perpetual incarceration, is still in a naval brig in South Carolina. But it is noteworthy that this 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia, in a 2-1 decision, that's how close it was, flatly rejected the government's assertion that even if all of these allegations against Mr. Al-Mari are true, that he is a so-called military combatant rather than a civilian criminal. And going on with what the Wall Street Journal has to say about this case, as it has in other terrorism-related cases, the government said the president acted under the implicit powers, suggested by both his constitutional designation as commander-in-chief and a congressional resolution authorizing a military response to 9/11. Those arguments have been rejected before, most seriously in the Supreme Court's June 2006 ruling that struck down the president's effort to establish military courts to try alleged terrorists without congressional authorization or judicial oversight. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live on RBN from San Antonio, Texas. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. The Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network will join me at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. Ted will be bringing us up to speed on the latest with hate crimes legislation. Also talking, will talk to us about the Jewish lobby, as well as the whole issue of the role of Jews in promoting and fomenting the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in 1917. Ted's release on this in the last few days has had a lot of very interesting historical data in it, with some marvelous quotations from impeccable sources that the mainstream press simply does not want to acknowledge or talk about for some very obvious reasons. and I'll look forward to talking with him on your behalf and mine at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. That is Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network at 9. Getting back then to this Wall Street Journal article from yesterday, page A6, talking about Mr. Bush being rebuked in regard to his doctrine of enemy combatants. This, again, is a decision of the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia. 2-1 decision. They flatly reject the government's assertion that this individual in question, Mr. Al-Mari, is a military combatant rather than a civilian criminal. The judge who wrote the 77-page opinion in this decision, Diana Gribben Motz, goes on to say, quote, "In the United States, the military cannot seize and imprison civilians, let alone imprison them indefinitely," unquote. That's the good news where this decision is concerned. But let's also keep in mind that this is not a flat, wholesale, clear-cut victory for the forces of freedom. It certainly is a good start in regard to what the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals said. But there are some other things in this decision that cause us great pause and where we need to really keep our eyes on this whole thing on an ongoing basis. One is that Judge Motz, at one level, does go on to apparently affirm the so-called Patriot Act. She wrote that the government had ignored legislation specifically designed to deal with such cases as Mr. Al-Mari's, the so-called Patriot Act. That law allows detention of terrorist aliens, quote-unquote, for renewable six-month periods if their release, quote, will threaten the national security of the United States. So you've got the so-called Patriot Act. It has a specific definition in it of so-called terrorist aliens. These folks fitting that definition can be detained for renewable six-month periods, if their release, quote, will threaten the national security of the United States. That act in and of itself bears closer constitutional scrutiny, certainly. But I think it is interesting that Judge Motz has basically said that Mr. Bush's understanding of enemy combatants and what, in his view, should be the role of the military in being able to seize and imprison civilians and to imprison them indefinitely in this country, that is not something that is even, in Mr. Bush's understanding, governed by the Patriot Act. That's how far removed the president is from reality when it comes to the Constitution and law, again, when it comes to the whole business of utilizing the American military to arrest and detain civilians and to do so on an indefinite basis. When it comes to this whole question of Mr. Al-Mari, the judge went on to say that Congress has decreed that individuals so described, like Mr. Al-Mari, are not to be detained indefinitely, but only for a limited time, and by civilian authorities prior to deportation or criminal prosecution. So again, we're talking about certain doctrines that have been reaffirmed by this 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. One is that the military is not to be seizing and imprisoning civilians. That's number one. Number two, it cannot imprison civilians indefinitely. And number three, civilian authorities need to be involved in this entire circumstance in regard to bringing things to a head with these individual defendants when it involves either deportation or criminal prosecution. Now, before I take a caller, I wanted to mention one other thing from this article. The Fourth Circuit's opinion has no direct implications, according to the Wall Street Journal, for the nearly 400 aliens held as enemy combatants at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Judge Motz took pains to distinguish Mr. Al-Mari from the armed belligerents allegedly captured on the battlefields of Afghanistan. So that is a very, very interesting distinction that has been made by this judge and by the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, where there is no discussion on the part of the judge or the Court of Appeals about this whole business of Guantanamo and whether or not that situation meets constitutional standards and the standards of international law. That would seem to be a very glaring omission in regard to what the Fourth Circuit did say. The other thing, of course, that definitely comes into play in this entire scene is in the very last sentence of the last paragraph of the article. The government says it will seek to reverse the ruling of the Fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Keep an eye on it, folks. We have not heard the last word on this entire situation, but suffice it to say that at least the Richmond-based court did say that the President of the United States does not have the right to utilize the military to arrest and detain civilians and to do so on an indefinite basis. That part of the ruling is very good. There are, however, some glaring omissions, as well as some things that the court did say that do not necessarily meet the strict standards of constitutional freedom as you and I understand it. So it's a partial victory, and in this day and age of what has been Mr. Bush's drive to create a police state in this country, quite clearly we have a situation where at least there has been some, albeit potentially temporary, check on what he's trying to do. We'll simply have to watch it in the days ahead. Margie in Idaho, you're on the line for Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, Margie.
Thank you, and I think that police state's only for American citizens, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, that's right. And you know, I think your comment is well taken. To me, when you go back over the entire scope of what's happened just in the last 15 to 20 years, and you think of Ruby Ridge, you think of Waco, you think of the warrantless surveillance thing that's come out on the part of the National Security Agency, both Patriot Acts, the Military Commissions Act of 2006, and quite clearly, we are still moving very firmly in the direction, in my view, of being a full-blown police state. So while the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals said a few good things in this 2-1 decision, the fact of the matter is it's anything but a clear-cut victory.
Well, that's like that young teenager in Georgia for the sex act that he had with his girlfriend. And the judge said that he could get out of prison, and then the district attorney came back on it. And it's like we have these, you know, runaway attorneys that are not doing what the people want either, that elect them. It's just all out of hand. My thing was, I just kind of wish that we could get a lot of the people to call the president, just to call the White House and to tell Bush that he's a lame duck. The immigration bill will not go through, and just call the White House. I found out a few years ago, and I know this sounds funny, but because I wasn't really an educated person, I read things, I understood things, but I just felt like I was inadequate. And then one day I just realized, you know what? Them guys put their pants on the same way I do, one leg at a time. And from that time, I have just so enjoyed. I mean, I enjoy calling the White House. I enjoy calling the Congress people. I think it's very interesting to get their answers back. And, you know, so I have kind of enjoyed it myself. Being an American, and it's about the only thing I can do, I can write, I can talk, I can tell people. But what I have found exciting, because I know my vote, it's early in the morning, my vote does not count. I know that the vote scam's been going on since the early 90s. They put in who they want to put in. I found this out being in Alaska. The Independent Party up there, we fought like heck just to get our party on the ticket. We did everything. And then we got Hickel, the governor, elected up there. And I'd be doggone if that guy did not turn around and become a Republican. The minute he got elected, that turkey went and changed parties, and then did everything that he promised us he wouldn't do, he did.
Well, it's an ongoing battle, both in terms of, you know, staying on the line both with the president and Capitol Hill, and when you're, and when you talk about what you went through in getting this guy elected up in Alaska, I have seen that kind of turnabout taking place time and time and time again in both of the major parties, and it's a real frustration because every once in a while, a group of very committed activists get together at the precinct and county levels and manage to get somebody elected who looks like he or she is going to make a difference, only in 9 cases out of 10 to turn around and discover that the person who gets elected ends up representing the same interests that the activists have been fighting for years and years. It's a, it's an ongoing frustration, and I know when it comes to the American populist right that Michael Collins Piper has done a lot to inform my thinking in regard to what's happened in this country in this book that he wrote entitled The Judas Goats. I couldn't figure out for years, Margie, why it was that I was involved in this case, Republican political activism going all the way back to my college days. And then later I was a district chairman in the Republican Party in Seattle, Washington, back in the late 80s, very early 90s. Was a delegate to a couple of Texas State Republican conventions in the 90s. And through it all, I finally reached a point where I stepped back from it and I said, you know, I haven't made any difference whatsoever in the direction that this country's going in. The multinational corporations are running the show. We've got these horrible trade and budget deficits. The middle class is being destroyed. The manufacturing sector of the economy is going down the drain. We're moving toward world government. We continue to be involved in all of these foreign wars. The list just goes on and on. So, you know, it's a real catch-22. On the one hand, I really think that the kind of activism you're doing and just calling the White House just in and of itself is a valuable thing to do. The results that we got on this immigration thing, at least for now, indicate that there's still somebody there inside the Beltway that has to listen to us once in a while. And yet, in the larger span of history, it seems that we've largely been on the losing end of things. It's a real quandary. So on the one hand, I still like for people to be involved and to tell me that they're involved. But by the same token, we've got to say that in the last 30 or 40 years in particular, our results haven't been too good.
Well, we allowed them to tell us what was going on. And I think the media, it's just like with me, I took out the TV. I kind of feel like that's Satan's play toy. And I didn't, you know, there was nothing there since the Internet has come out. At least I can find out what the real article is, the real news story, whether I go to, you know, I have a dozen different places I can go to find out what the article is talking about. I can get both sides of a story, and then I can make up my own mind. But to sit there and watch a news program, and I don't care who it is, you know, I had enjoyed Lou Dobbs quite well, but I had to make up my mind, you know, what I was going to show them. I didn't want no part of it. And the way I could protest was to stop my cable TV. This thing with Paris Hilton, every time I went to a friend's house, and that's all that was on, all I could do is say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving me the insight to getting rid of and not paying for this smut, you know, to come across on a TV.
Well, you've said something, Margie, that I want to affirm where you're concerned, and I think it's true for myself and hopefully for a lot of the listeners. What we're talking about here, you know, you recognize, of course, quite clearly what's going on in the country. You recognize who and what it is that is behind mainstream media, and you recognize that it is through alternative media, among other things, that we begin to come up with some solutions to the problem of information control and education and so forth. But ultimately, something that you've said this morning, I think, really bears emphasis, and that is that when we talk about where you're coming from now, where I've been coming from for a number of years now, and where a lot of people are concerned who have been converted to a more discerning point of view, This ultimately, in my view, does come from God. In other words, we don't have to be the best and the brightest as far as native intelligence. You know, maybe we're not as smart in terms of IQ as the folks that are, you know, on Rhodes scholarships and studying in CFR-affiliated schools and things of this sort. However, it seems to me that God has shown us in our own individual ways what the larger agenda is of the power elite in this country, and that we who have discernment, as God has given us the grace to have it, can then act out on what we know in appropriate ways, in small ways, to attempt to witness to the truth. And in our own individual ways, if all of us as individual atoms in space, so to speak, begin to act in concert in regard to doing what you're doing, there will be at some point some discernible effect in all of this. And I think the immigration situation is a classic example of what we at the grassroots level are still capable of doing if we get the right information from the right sources, and then simply within our own limitations, time limitations, money limitations, whatever, do what we can do to let the powers that be know that we're on to them, and that we are not going to acquiesce ultimately in what they're doing. If you got time, Margie, stay on the line.
This is
Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Ted Pike will be with us at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
We're back. This is Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. The Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network will join me and join the rest of us at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. That's in little more than 1 hour from now to discuss, among other things, the Israeli lobby and the whole issue of hate crimes legislation. What is the latest going on with that? Tune in at 9, and Ted Pike will be here to cover it with you and for you, and with me and for me. I'm really looking forward to talking to Ted because inevitably, when I speak with him or when I read his news releases, I always find out that there's a new angle on something related to the Israeli lobby or hate crimes that I didn't know before. So he will join us in just about 1 hour from now. We've been talking with Margie in Idaho. Just wanted to mention to her as well as to the listeners that in these next 10 minutes or so, there will be some frequent commercial breaks and then a longer period of time for conversation. So just be ready when you hear the bumper music, and I have to cut out again, that I will be back and hopefully back with each and every one of you. Margie, what would you say are the issues that matter to you most at this particular stage of your life and with what you think is going on in the country?
First of all, I'd like to see the American people wake up. That's the most important thing to me. I have grandchildren, and my son is a fireman paramedic down there in Naples, Florida, and I worry about him and his family. And then I have a daughter that's a waitress, and her husband's a singer, and they got a couple of kids in the bottom part of Alabama, and they've lived, you know. I was a single parent, but I've always been what everybody's called a conspiracy nut. I used to talk about the CFR, and nobody knew what I was talking about. And now they're running our, you know, newscast. They come out and they're proud to become, you know, CFR, and they're proud to say that they belong to, you know, the Bilderbergers or whatever. And here, 20 years ago, if you even said the word, you were crazy. So I think it's pretty interesting to see some of the things happening.
The next time, Margie, that someone you know accuses you of being crazy for believing that, refer them to a book written by Dr. Carol Quigley.
Oh, yeah.
And that book is Tragedy and Hope. Dr. Quigley, of course, was a professor of Bill Clinton's at Georgetown University. Quigley himself is a part of the CFR and the entire political establishment that people are accusing you of being paranoid for believing that it in fact runs the country. It is demonstrable when you read Quigley's book or you talk to anybody who is involved in the foreign policy establishment and domestic lobby establishment in this country. You know, when you speak to these folks, they make it very clear. They're very honest, very open. That, in fact, this is what runs the United States without question.
I don't know. I just read the story last night. I hear the word marriage is going to be outlawed. The Ninth Circuit Court in California said that it'll be called natural family instead
we'll
of a
be
marriage.
Back. Let's take that up, Margie, when we come back. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is arguably, of course, the most left-wing court in America. We'll chat about that with Margie when we return. This is Mark Hancock's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.